DFW Mobile. KN4 DFW Mobile.
And Z9V Mobile. And Eric, that's a dead zone over here for 285, so why you couldn't hear me? Andrew.
Let's stop on southbound. What do you know?
KO4CF. That's normal for 85.
Bad A's when you work, Eric.
Got no rhyme or reason for the slowdown. It's not like there's a wreck or anything. It's just, for whatever reason, everybody starts slowing down.
Fading effect. Closure, because it just goes right from red to green immediately on Google Maps.
Yesterday, right around 5 o'clock, 85 northbound was all orange. But when I got on, it wasn't as bad, but there's, you know, you hit normal spots at 290, and now it's a new that happened, and 26 is. It would just start slowing down for some reason. New giant potholes we got on 85, so they scrape it up.
I'll tell you what, I was coming down 85 going northbound yesterday, heading back to the office. I don't know what they did at Pelham Road, but man, there's a humongous bump there that you'd think they would have fixed. I mean, I've redone everything there about 3 or 4 times.
Job paving much of anything lately. Like, they did 26 between my house and 85, and they've had to go back and repave a couple spots where it just wasn't any good. It's like, if you did it right the first time, you wouldn't come back and do it again.
They just use anybody that's got a paving machine.
Yeah. Section between Asheville and Hendersonville, I-26, man, that's nice.
There, golly, because we were headed up to the Virginia Creeper this last weekend. Man, we hit traffic on the way back. It was horrible.
Traffic through there, but the pavement's nice and smooth.
They'll be working on that Biltmore area forever, too.
You see when they finally get that I-26 connector done over there in Asheville.
Before Halloween, when I have to go up through there.
Sorry. Double with you there, Ken.
I said, you guys get that section of 26 fixed before I have to go up there at Halloween.
Be lucky to get it done in my lifetime.
Such a project, that's pretty likely. A lot of rain off this hurricane?
80% chance on Friday, but they show it coming right up through here.
The mountain, I thought I was in it. There's pouring cats and dogs up there. Patrick's probably just not coming out of it.
Rage kick. I just started down the mountain. It's not raining at all.
Cloud over my head.
And in water here on the mountain, so you know it has been, but it's not raining that hard at the moment.
Figure it off.
Amazed by that. It's raining as I came through. I got the 290 and it quit.
73% chance today, 79 tomorrow, 98 on Thursday, and 96 on Friday.
Like the next 10 days, isn't it?
Yeah. So hopefully once it quits raining, I can cut my grass for one last time and be done with it.
Okay. They close a lane, and there's no rhyme or reason, and they're not doing any work, and it's just closed for no reason. It's just closed for the sake of closing it.
Flashing signs says caution, flagger ahead. I still haven't seen the flagger. NC9B.
I hate it when they leave up their signs and they're not working. Because all that does is make people not pay them attention.
There on C90, when I came through there and it was dark, the truck was shining its lights in my eyes, and right on the other side of the truck was the flagger.
It amazes me. I'm surprised we don't have more fatalities than what we do.
And they had to pass a law that required them to put indicated whether the construction zone was active or not, because you know the cops were putting up fake construction zones to get people for speeding in a construction zone, So they had to pass a law to prohibit that and say that the, you know, there has to actually be work going on for them to make it a construction zone.
It's a little like entrapment to me.
Construction workers, because people get the idea, oh, well, this is just a fake construction zone, you know?
Stuff I get. Well, gentlemen, I'm getting off of my exit, so I'm going to say 7-3. Y'all have a good one. Be safe out there, and hopefully we'll holler at you tomorrow morning. KO4, CF, and I'll be clear on your final.
7-3, Andrew. Good to hear you this morning. KO4, HGX.
7-3, Andrew. Have an awesome day. KN4,
TFW. Good day, W2JKT.
Andrew, have a great day. And C9B.
Getting close for about a mile and a half, and there was absolutely nothing happening.
I ain't seen much traffic down here since I got on at the 68 or 66.
Right now, we're back up to cruising speed, so I have to make it into the office. They've got the parking deck is closed in the office this week, so I won't have the ability to charge the car, so I've had to charge it to 100% last night, and I'm going to see if I can make it to work and back without having to charge.
You know, they're looking at a new company pickup for me, and plant manager wanted to know if we looked into an EV. And the Ford hybrid, it's got a 4 rating out of 100.
I think I would buy a Ford EV because they get pretty horrible reviews.
Sure. And I guess my company gets a discount with Ford, but it looks like they're going with a V8. You know anybody that works on older radios? Old Kenwood from like 1980 or 81. And the guy said it was working when he put it up, but I saw that right there where the power plugs in, that the wires broke on the inside there, and I don't know what else. I kind of halfway attempted to solder, but it ain't working. It's a TR7800.
My friend Vlado up in Asheville fixes radios, but I don't think he's actually working right now. I can shoot him a note to see if he can do something like that, but I'm sure he can fix it, but just not sure he's taking on new stuff right now.
You know, a lot of people ain't working on older radios anymore. I just thought it'd be a reliable radio.
With it, or is it you can't get power to it because the connector's no good?
Get it to power up to take anything else out on it.
Connector, I'm sure I could fix that. You know, I've got all the tools at work to do stuff like that.
I don't have any good way to test it. My meter's junk. And that's just a GP and that. I just can't get it to know to power up.
One of these mornings, I'm sure we could meet over there on Gossett Road or something, or, you know, a little further south, whatever. Quick jump off the exit, and I can take it in the office and open it up. And you know, I've got a great technician who could you know, put a new connector on there and make it look like it, you know, never had anything wrong with it.
Appreciate it. I got it with me in the car. Just passing 75.
75. So I guess we missed each other this morning, but maybe Thursday.
Just let me know where, and I'll hook up with you. I'd like to meet you anyway.
You know, somewhere in the 75 area is usually when we're passing each other. So let's maybe shoot for that Thursday morning. Have a quick meet up, and I'll take that thing on in and see if I can do something with it.
After that, looks like somebody else worked on it at one time, because where, like, the power plugs in on the inside of the radio, it looks like it's got some cold solder joints on that, and it was, the connector's kind of loose, so if you wiggle it from the outside, it breaks the wire on the inside.
If somebody worked on it first, I got to charge double, you know. But, yeah, if it's a cold solder joint, that's super easy to fix, and, yeah, well, I mean, I'm sure if that's the reason it's not powering up, I mean, we can fix that no problem.
Start anyway to know that it got power.
All We'll meet up Thursday morning, and I'll probably get it back to you. Maybe even drop it off Thursday afternoon on my way home.
No hurry. I was just going to try to put it in the truck. Like I said, it's supposed to be just a dedicated 2-meter, but it's like one of the very first ones that Kenwood made. The literature I looked at said it wouldn't get some of these frequencies, but he said he was using it, so I got to believe it'll get, you know, up to the at least the 147.285.
Model, it should have the entire 2-meter band on it. If it's a European model, it would only have 144 to 146 on it. So, you know, just have to make sure it's not a European model.
You know, because when I looked up the manual, now mind you, it didn't come with the manual. I just looked it up online. It said it was good only to 145.995, which sounds like it's a European model. But I know that he was using it, so I don't know what, you know, I don't know what frequency he was using it on. But he said he was using it up to about 10 years ago.
I don't know if they were doing it back then, but U.S. models ended in the letter A, and European models ended in the letter E. So if it's a TK, whatever, it's E, then it's a European model, and if it's an A, it's a U.S. model.
TR-7800. I'll have to look at it a little bit closer.
U.S. used to have a smaller 2-meter band than it has today. As far as I know, the 2-meter band has always been 144 to 148, but maybe there was a time when it was smaller.
I tried to look it up, but I never could come across anything that led me to believe that it changed.
I'm sorry I had to deal with somebody who didn't know how to merge.
I also give you a handheld, an old handheld, but pretty sure the batteries are shot since they ain't been charged in a while. I don't even know if I can get a battery for it.
I get some batteries for my HTs as well. My D74 battery isn't lasting very long, and my D72 battery is lasting even shorter. So I need to bite the bullet and get some new batteries for them.
Yeah, an old Keir that his dad used to use, and it was really kind of funny. Plugs in and it has tubes on it, and you can set the speed and everything, but best I can figure out, it's from the late 40s.
In the late 40s, you know, when I was up in D.C. over the weekend, my dad gave me his old trumpet and his old violin from when he was in school. And so I've been trying to find out about these things, and I know about the trumpet because I played trumpet in high school and I've played it before, but his violin was made in the 1920s. In Czechoslovakia. It was a copy of a Stradivarius, and his mom bought it for him used in 1949. So this instrument is ancient. I've got it in the back of the car. I'm stopping by a music shop in Greenville on the way home, and they're going to fix it up and get it playing again. It needs a lot of work, but yeah, I thought that was interesting to get this violin from the 1920s or 30s.
You going by Techno Music over by Bob Jones on 291?
That's the place.
Trumpet fixed there here a couple of years ago so that the grandson could use it, but he used it 1 year and decided it wasn't for him.
I need to do spring on the first valve slide. It's a Selmer Paris, which was made, his was made in 1956, serial number 17507, and it's one of the few remaining Selmer Paris horns that are known to exist. I found a website, brasshistory.net, where this guy maintains a list of all the known remaining Selmer Paris trumpets, and there's only about 100 trumpets on it, so I sent him an email and gave him the details and stuff, so he'll add one more to the list, but I'm happy to get it. I played trumpet in high school for 4 years, and I occasionally use his horn instead of mine, and my horn got stolen my senior year, so I used his, and then, you know, I haven't played since then, but I'm going to start playing again. Just so the instrument will get some use.
Trumpet in high school myself and that, but yeah, I can't play it anymore.
And I had some tough times because I've had a crown put on one of my front teeth since then. In high school, I had a bonded front tooth because I broke it, and the bond was a little short, and it made a little gap that I could get air through. But now that I have a crown on that tooth, it's a lot harder. But Yeah, let's see who else is still in here. We've been kind of jamming for a while. W2, JKT, Bubble.
Okay, so I'm still here. I just switched vehicles. I'm getting ready to go out the gate.
Down to the gate, so I'm going to have to say 7-3. Hope everybody has an awesome day and a safe day, and I'll catch you guys later. KN4 TFW.
Have a great day, and I'll meet up with you Thursday morning. W2, JKT.
7-3, Ken. Have a great day. KO4HKX. Vehicles, and I got to close the gate, and I'll be right back, Eric.
Alright, stand by.
HKX, I'm back, Eric.
W2, JKT. For diesel on the way back yesterday in exit 63 in North Carolina.
83, right there on Upper Road in Hendersonville.
Less than $3 in a long, long time.
Well, it's been down below $3 for several weeks over there in the Brea area, but yesterday when I stopped and got fuel, it was back up to $3.29.
That's all the hurricanes that have been hitting the Gulf.
Back down here for November.
Not even need to.
Parking garage closed for
sale this weekend, and they're putting it in the bottom of the parking deck to keep it under cover, so they don't have to rent a bunch of tents and stuff and do that parking lot up there. So we can't park in the bottom of the parking deck all week because they're setting up.
I didn't know anything about the big tool sale.
Order just to, we're trying to reduce inventory. We've been trying to reduce inventory since the pandemic is over. Because we stocked up during the pandemic to have stuff to sell because nobody had anything, right? But yeah, we do it once a quarter, and it's just a big blowout of whatever we have surplus of, and you know, it's a big tent sale right off the exit there at exit 27 in that big parking lot. But you know, they have to rent all the tents and move all the stuff up there from the distribution center and whatever else. So they just decided to have it in the parking deck so they could save the expense of all the tents and stuff. Because it's, you know, many, many thousands of dollars to rent that many tents to have the sale.
Those tents get expensive, especially when you get into the bigger ones.
I spent like $30,000 on tents for these tool sales, so it's, you know, moving it into the garage that's already there, you know, saves us quite a bit of money.
Smart. Somebody actually using their noodle.
For sale and some other things that I still don't have in my toolbox.
Put any of the Milwaukee pack-out tool kits in there?
I don't have any Milwaukee stuff. It'll be Rigid, Ryobi, and Hart.
I thought I was just asking.
Milwaukee stuff pretty tight. Like, I can't even buy Milwaukee stuff on my employee discount, so it's frustrating, but... you know, sometimes they'll have some Milwaukee stuff in the direct tool store, just like a very small, like one bin of like, you know, refurbs or something like that. But, yeah, they don't have Milwaukee on the direct tool store. They don't have it in the tool sale. They don't have any employee store or anything like that.
At least they're protecting that brand some anyway, instead of just throwing everything out there.
Keep that one there in top shelf.
So much of it end up on Amazon and Facebook Marketplace, pallet loads of it, not the individual. I know how that ends there, but the pallet loads of it.
Get all their returns on pallets like Amazon does?
I'm just curious if that's what it was. I know Milwaukee won't warranty any of that stuff either.
Tractor trailer, and you know, you can buy a tractor trailer load of Home Depot returns, you know, directly from them at some fixed cost, and you know, they're liquidators that go in and buy that stuff and just put it all on Amazon.
My proof of purchase is important with the warranty on that stuff, and these guys don't understand that.
Not warranty from us either on stuff that's not sold at Home Depot. So you know, you buy your tools on Amazon. And they break, you're on your own.
How many people bring their tools to me, want me to warranty it, because we're Milwaukee authorized dealer now, and want me to warranty and get mad when I want.
I mean, the paperwork, you know, why is it on you to do that?
I've been trained. This society has trained them that way. It's just a one-for-one, you know, everything's covered anymore, because you can just walk in and give it back and take it like Home Depot.
I would do that if that's what Home Depot wants to do, but you don't have to.
But they, like I said, they get mad at us for it, and it generally ends up costing you a sale because of it.
How experience that sale can go, because, you know, those customers are going to cost you so much in the long run if you, you know, if you start, you know, selling to them.
But in all honesty, that's probably 90% of my clientele. They just... I'm telling you, you just got to come ride with me one day to understand it.
Philadelphia, I used to work part-time at a bicycle shop, you know, to get the discount, get stuff cheap and whatever. But, you know, we had one customer. He'd love to come in and buy a bike, and then he would just return it the next week. And, you know, he was like, oh, well, I buy so many bikes. I'm like, yeah, but you return them all. So, you know, we stopped selling to him. He's like, look, you can't buy stuff here anymore. And he got all mad and everything. I'm like, dude, you know, you cost us so much money in the credit card fees and the return fees and, you know, having a bike that's not new anymore and all this other stuff. Because, you know, the company, it was a big company, Performance Bike Shop. They had a pretty liberal return policy. And so he would buy a bike, go out and ride it for an event or something, and then return it. And he did that probably 10 or 15 times while I worked there. And they eventually told him to pound sand, and he got all salty about it. But, yeah, I mean, those... There's, you know, a customer that buys a whole bunch of bikes but then returns them is not a good customer. So you can't afford to keep them.
I've had to tell several of them this is not a rental program. You purchase it, it's yours.
You have to have stuff like that, but people take advantage. So you just have to, you know, put policies in place that prevent you from being taken advantage of.
That's what. Well, there again, what society has taught people. Try to play the system and get everything out of it you can. But then they're the first ones to complain when the system fights back.
And that's the truth.
I see it about every day.
I work retail again, though. I do have the wine shop now, and that's retail, but it's a little bit different. The customer base there is a different kind of customer. You can't return wine, you know.
That's what I was going to say. There's no returning that one. Well, I guess you could in one way, but I don't think anybody would do that.
People that are, you know, customers of the wine shop, you know, they have a good amount of disposable income. They're there to just drink some wine and have a good time. You know, we sell bottles, and, you know, we've never had somebody bring one back trying to return it or anything, because, you know, it's, you know, part of what drives that is that people don't have any money, and so that they, you know, need money one day, they'll try to return something they bought or whatever. And, you know, that's a big driver of it, so I don't know.
Same here. I can about tell you when the customer is going to do it. So I've learned to watch for it. There's certain cues.
But in a minute, I'm in the black hole at Woodruff. W2JKT, be right back. W2JKT.
I was just saying, I've about learned that the cues for those guys, where I deal with them on a repetitive basis, helps. You learn them, and it doesn't take long.
Definitely, it was the people that would always find something wrong with everything that always ended up returning everything. And, you know, they're in the shop looking at a bike, and they don't like this, they don't like that, but they'll take it anyway. You know that bike's coming back.
Believe it or not, I get guys on the truck complaining about fingerprints on stuff.
That crap I'm talking about. Oh, this has a smudge on it. I don't like it. You know, it's like, come on, just wipe it off. But, yeah, you know that customer is going to be a big pain, and they're going to bring everything back all the time.
I told them, if you don't like it, learn to wash your hands before you come in here for first, and then you don't have to buy it.
Not buy something because it has a smudge on the cardboard box that it comes in. It's like, come on, guys, give me a break.
The ones that have to open everything up and touch it and then can't get it back in the box and destroy the boxes.
It has all the Milwaukee stuff in cages, you know, because they don't want people opening them and leaving them there on the shelf.
you if they leave them there in the shelf. They'll walk off with them.
Home Depot has a very liberal theft policy, too. It's like, come on, go ahead and take it. We don't care.
Area I'm in today, which is Cherrydale, there's a Home Depot and a Lowe's, and you wouldn't believe how many of the, I guess the best way to say it is the homeless are carrying brand new packages of that stuff.
Yeah, because they can just walk in, take it off the shelf, and walk out. Home Depot's policy is do not interfere, just let them do it.
For HKX, all that's doing is making it worse for everybody else, all the businesses around them.
Yeah, I mean, the shrink affects our margins too. So we've got to increase prices to cover that as well. Because the Ryobi stuff is not in a cage, and people will steal that stuff all day long.
I have them get on the truck. They've stole stuff out of here. You get four or five guys on here at one time, and you can't watch them all.
With a tool truck, you still have a shrink problem? That's pretty wild that people would, steal right in front of you on your truck, because I can't imagine it's very, very big in size, and somebody walk off with something that takes a little bit of effort, doesn't it?
They do, and it's usually, sockets or pliers or something they can slip in their pocket fairly easy, especially in the wintertime when they come in with a jacket on or something like that.
Businesses around Shelby that have signs on the door that you're not allowed to wear big sweatshirts and hoodies and stuff in the store because, people come in wearing a big hoodie and stuff, and they cover their face, cover their head, they have these big pockets, and they stuff them up and leave.
Exactly, and we're coming into that season.
Cold season, that reminds me, I need to get some firewood arranged for myself because I definitely don't have enough still on hand to last the winter. And it's going to start getting cold in a month or so, I need to start getting on that.
Already starting to change up around the house. As you're coming through the valleys, you can see the yellows and orange starting to show their colors.
We've got a maple in the back that's dropping leaves all over the place already. And, we're starting to see some yellows and reds often if we look out into the woods. So, it's starting, and then probably two or three more weeks, we're going to be in full on.
I think it's a little early this year, but, hey, we'll take it.
I'm under a lot of heat stress this summer, so they might drop everything a little early.
That's true, but up around the house, we've had rain, and it hadn't been near as hot. I think we've only had a few days that were even into the 90s.
Yeah, man, in Shelby, we had a scorching summer this year.
Think about where I live. It is a cooler climate and moister climate. So remember where I'm going this morning.
Well, I'm up in the mountains, it's a little cooler, but I'm discovering that if I drive a little slower and I don't run the air conditioner and heat like I normally do in the morning. I get pretty good range still. I'm at 188 miles left. It started indicating at 245 this morning, so I've used about 60 miles of range, and I'm already 70 miles into my commute. So it's tracking really well, but I'm still at three quarters. I've still got 75% of the battery left, so that's pretty darn good.
Hopefully you can make it without having to stop. And even with a gas vehicle, if you'll slow down just a little bit, you'll be surprised at what it does to your fuel mileage. Just 5 miles an hour. It's incredible once you get under that certain window. Because all manufacturers have a fuel curve in there and most of them are peaking out right around what used to be the speed limit of 60, 65. If you'll slow down just under that and maintain that at a steady speed, you'd be surprised at what you can get out of fuel mileage out of a vehicle.
The law of power for wind resistance is this cube law. So, a 10% increase in speed is like 30% more energy that you have to output to do that. So, when you're in a battery EV, that 30% is a pretty direct correlation to your range. So, 65 and 75 is a huge difference.
something I learned with all the fuel economy tests they used to have to run, people complaining about it in 05, 04, 05, right around in that area, people complaining about fuel mileage. That's when the start of the gas started climbing up and everybody complaining about it, bringing their vehicle in. This thing's not getting any fuel mileage. Is there anything you can do? And take it out and run a fuel economy test on it and come back and nope, nothing we can do. It's optimal efficiency.
Drive slower. That's really the best way to do it.
And then nowadays, these people driving like lunatics out here.
Back from D.C. yesterday and, leaving D.C. during morning rush, I was doing opposite the flow, but, man, it was still nuts. I mean, you know, people are just insane up there.
Ed, KO4HKX here. Patrick.
Good morning, guys. Hey, Patrick. Yeah. No rain yet, but it's coming out, so. Yeah, I see if my son's here, but I think I'm too early. I move off frequency so I can get him W4FCM.
In here this morning, Fred, and I'm sure he'll be along shortly. It's not raining here, but it's been raining up the mountain, so it's coming this way.
All right, you guys. So, stay in day. Thanks, guys. W4FCM listening. When he gets up, he eventually will.
Clear out. I'm getting real close to where I need to go and dealing with a little bit of traffic in here. So, you be careful, and maybe I'll catch you this afternoon on your way home. KO4HKX, and enjoy the conversation. 73.
Day 73. Good morning, Fred. W2JKT, Eric here. I actually have to jump out, too, because I'm getting down here into the 30s where I'm going to start losing the repeater. And it's 6:30, about time to give Courtney a call for the morning. So, anyway, you guys both have a great day, and I'll chat with you guys later. W2JKT.
Hey, thanks, guys. W4FCM.